Good. All right. Praise God. You know, we are in a messianic congregation, so we do believe that Yeshua is the Messiah here. We do believe that he is the salvation of Israel and the world. We do believe that he is the promised one to come through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David to be the Messiah of Israel and the world. That's what we believe here, and that he is the Lord, and he is coming back. We do believe that he is one Messiah, not two. Traditionally, in the Jewish community, it was recognized that there's so many scriptures and references to a Messiah that's going to be a suffering servant, and then a Messiah that's going to be king, that the conclusion was, well, there must be two Messiahs. We say, no, it's one Messiah. He's the Son of God, and he is our Yeshua. Amen. Do we believe that this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. You know, he calls us together every Shabbat to get together because it says to in his words. So we do it. We get together when we can, as best we can. We worship together. We honor him as creator together. This is the day when Yeshua was on the earth that he chose to go into synagogues and congregations and bring healing and restoration. This was the day. Now, it didn't mean he didn't do it on any other days, but this is, remember, he walked out God's heart's desire for his people and for humanity. And his desire is to restore mankind to him. His desire is to restore us to him and then to walk with him and to walk in him. You know, we talk about the three goals of our congregation. Rabbi Judah mentions it every Shabbat. Love God, love one another, and make disciples. And really, what is a disciple? It's someone who follows God, someone who follows Yeshua. And there are scriptures that talk about, and it's interesting, if you follow out particularly the story of the Exodus. If you follow out the story, oh, good grief, I was supposed to be watching the time. I want to make sure I do this in a timely manner. 12:02, thank you. What's that?
It was five after.
Okay, very good. If you look at the history of the Exodus, several things were going on. Yes, God gave his Torah instructions. God gave his revelation on the mountain. God gave us the instructions that would make us a safe and happy people, if you will, with God in our midst, because he's a holy God. But what would have happened had he given us all that stuff and we decided, you know, it's really great at this foot of this mountain, Mount Sinai. We think we'll just stay here for the rest of our lives. And God lifted his presence and his cloud and his fire, and he took off. And we just decided to stay behind. All the obedience in the world isn't going to fix that. So there is a concept that Moses talks about and Yeshua demonstrated all the time. There's two things, follow and obey. Follow and obey. Why does God say follow? Well, one, hopefully he's the one that knows the way. And when I say the way, the derech, the path for our lives as an individual and as a congregation, he demonstrated it with the community of Israel. He demonstrated it with Abraham. Go to the country I will show you. Now, Abraham could have just obeyed, go, I'll just go wherever. No, go to the place I show you. So obey my voice, but follow to the place I want to take you. In other words, I want you to obey me, but I want you to take the path that I've called for you. As an individual and as a congregation, the path that constitutes our life sometimes is, and we talked about this a few months ago, is filled with joy and victory and sometimes pain and sometimes feels like suffering and defeat. But the point is, where we go with God. And we make sure no matter what situation we're in, we rely on Him. In every situation, the greatest situations, the joyful situations, the most difficult situations, our livelihood is wrapped up in Him. He made us as His creation to be in this relationship, this connection, if you will, with Him. That's why He can say things like, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone. We think, oh, I gotta eat my bread today. I gotta eat my bread tomorrow. What am I gonna eat? He says, man lives by every word that the mouth of God proclaims. And that's the way it's written. Every word that the mouth of God proclaims. He calls us to follow and obey. This is funny. I gave Joan a list of scriptures, and I was just double-checking them this morning, and like four of them are like the wrong ones. So I have no idea what I was doing because I said, okay, let's just go through these real quick. I'm going to mark a couple of things, and I turned to it, and I said, what did I just give Joan? What is this? So go ahead and put Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4 up, and I'm going to explain why that is not the scripture I was intending to put up. Okay, so it says, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Adonai your God is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's still a good scripture. Well, quite frankly, all of it's good scripture, but that's still a good scripture. The verse I was going for is the verse 5, which is right after it. That says, Adonai your God, Him you will follow, and Him you will fear. His mitzvot you will keep. To His voice you will listen. Him you will serve, and to Him you will cling. There's five things Moses put in that one verse. You follow Him, you fear Him, you follow His instructions, His ways, not our own. You listen to His voice. That's six things. Him you will serve, because remember, He drew us out of Egypt when we were serving the Egyptians. The Egyptians weren't in a position to allow us to serve anybody else but them. That's what slavery is. God says, no, I set you free so you can serve me. And that's a beautiful place to be. And the last one, I think, which is critical, even when we're in our most difficult times, is when we cling to Him. Moses said, cling to Him. So what's interesting about this preface with verse 4 is Moses was summarizing that statement that I just read to you with, when you have a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that's doing things, or showing signs, doing cool things, God might be testing you. If something is leading you away from God, even it seems to be couched or hidden in something of God, if it's leading you away from God, if something is leading you away from the path of God, don't follow it. That's why he was saying that, because that was the preface of what he was saying. He was giving examples. If you have somebody that has some kind of gifting and starts doing these signs and wonders, but they're telling you, maybe you should follow another God, or maybe you should do this, or maybe you should set up a little idol. He's saying, don't listen to that. You do these six things. You listen to God, you follow Him, you listen to His voice, seek out His voice, observe His ways, cling to Him, and fear Him. So even when things look good on the outside, even when things look like they're exciting or that they're passionate driven or that they're filled with even putting the name of God to it, if it's something that takes you away from the path of God, he says, ignore it. Absolutely ignore it. You listen to God because you got to follow His path. Amen? Follow and obey. Deuteronomy 11:13. Let's see if I got that one correctly. Ha, I did. Now if you listen obediently to my mitzvot that I am commanding you today, to love Adonai your God and to serve Him with all your heart and soul. And then it continues. The point I wanted you to catch here is loving Him and serving Him. You know, it's an awesome and miraculous and wondrous thing that our Messiah, and I think Mitch mentioned this last week, got on his hands and knees and wash the feet of his disciples. But he was doing it because he was a servant leader, showing us the type of people he wants us to be because we're serving him. We're called to serve him. He's not called to serve us. He's God. And he is the Son. He's the Messiah, and the Father has given him all authority in heaven and earth. Amen? All right. Very good. He does not want us to have idols. Can I hear an amen to that? Just about anything can be an idol. And even good things that God puts in our lives can be an idol. So sometimes it's just a matter of having everything in its proper priority and its proper place. God placed himself in the center of Israel when we were wandering in the wilderness, and he placed the people around himself. He placed himself in the center. I believe it's his heart's desire today, if we are called to be followers of him, our Father, and of Yeshua, our Messiah, to place him in the center of our lives and of our congregation. Not on the side, not out back, not as in our pocket as life insurance, but as at the center. God is the center. I think he wants us to realize how good it is for us to be in relationship with him in the right priority, in the right place, having nothing else before him. Smash those things that are before him, or place those good things that are before him that he's given us in his proper priority and place. Because he's called us not to have idols. One of the things he repeated, and Moses repeated over and over and over, follow, obey, serve him, cling to him. Don't go after other gods. Don't go after other things. Don't even elevate yourself to that state of where God belongs in your life. Don't even put yourself there, because God belongs there. God is our King. God is our God. Hallelujah. Follow and obey. Being a follower of Messiah Yeshua implies we follow and obey. But follow. Yeshua, how many times when Yeshua was walking on this earth among us in the land of Israel, even during the Roman occupation, when he was gathering those, what did he say? Follow me. Follow me. He didn't just say, obey me, go home, do your thing, and live your life. Follow me. I have a plan for you. I want you in my kingdom, and I have a plan for you. And yeah, by the way, you need to obey me because I'm the king. Follow and obey. Let's go to Luke 17, 9, starting in chapter 9. Yeshua is speaking. He's talking about the master and the servant, the master and the slave relationship. When we have a job to do, we're called to do it. When he's called us to a certain life or do certain things, you know, it's great that he will one day look at us, can look at us and say, well done. But as we go about the lives he's called us to, he has already given us his salvation. He's already redeemed us from a life of death into a life with God, our Father in heaven. He doesn't necessarily have to thank the servant or the slave because he did what he was commanded to do. Yet, I could tell you, your God is so compassionate. I know he gives you those pats on the back because I know it. But he's called us to a job to do. He's called us to something to do. All right, verse 10, keep going. So you too, when you've done everything you were commanded, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only what we were supposed to do. Because we're called to follow and serve him. Not serve ourselves, serve him. Next verse. Now, while going up to Jerusalem, Yeshua was passing between Samaria and the Galilee. Just keep rolling along. I'll let you know when to pause. So you too. Well, that's backwards. Go forward. Yeah. There we go. Now, while he's in a certain village. Oh, okay. This is the second one that was wrong. See, I could told you. I must have been up too late, or dude, I don't know what I did. It's like, this is the wrong verse. I'm sorry, but I know which one is the right one, and I'm going to turn to Luke 18 right now and just walk you through it. Luke 18, and I noticed this, and I'm like, what was I thinking when I wrote that down? Luke chapter 18. Starting in verse 9. Then Yeshua spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous while holding others in contempt. You see, when God calls us to walk a certain way, it's not so that we can look down on everybody else. It's not to hold everyone else in contempt. It's to walk the walk he's called us to mind our business and mind the life he's called us to live. So he said, there were two men, verse 10, that went up to the temple to pray, one a Parush, a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. You got to love that prayer. Thieving, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Even like this tax collector standing right here next to me. I fast twice a week and tithe on all that I get. Wow, look at me, God. I am so good. That is not the point of why he says follow and obey. Yeshua continues, he says, but the tax collector standing some distance away wouldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven, but he beat his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went down to his home declared righteous. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. Yeshua reminds us to have the right attitude and perspective of humility as we walk out the life he's called us to walk. Who got declared righteous? The one who was so humble, he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven and acknowledge the man he was before God, rather trying to demonstrate to God the man that he is so great and so puffed up. Jumping down to Luke 18, starting in verse 18, and the religious leader inquired of Yeshua, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit life? Yeshua answers interestingly, why are you calling me good? No one is good except one, and that is God. He always pointed people back to God, the Father. Always pointed people back to God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. The man said, all these I have kept since my youth. Yeshua heard this and said to him, there's one thing you still lacked. See, he was about to put him on a path. He was about to put this guy on a path. He said, if you really want eternal life, if you really want what I'm offering, I'm going to ask you to do something very difficult. I may not ask others to do the same exact thing, but I am going to ask you because I've recognized something in you and you've asked me the question, and I'm going to ask you to do something to put you on a certain path. He said, one thing you still lack. Because you notice, Yeshua didn't mention the greedy eye, the coveting. He said, did you keep the coveting part? He didn't mention that. So he meant it kind of a roundabout way here. Sell all that you have, as much as you have, and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So get that thing out of the way that's the stumbling block for you. Your particular case, you have all these riches and this wealth that right now is a stumbling block for you. Let's just get rid of all that and come follow me. And that'll get you on the right path, you specifically, because that's the one who asked him the question. But upon hearing these things, he became deeply distressed in verse 23, for he was very rich. Verse 24, gazing at him, Yeshua said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 26, those who heard said, then who can be saved? You know, the rich have so much. Who can be? They can't get in. Who can get in? Yeshua said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. He's not saying that everybody just needs to sell everything. He's saying that everybody has to have in their life, in the proper perspective, the proper place, the things that God has blessed them with. And sometimes God will ask us to do things, to remove, to release things, to get on the right path. And that's simply what he's saying, I think. Because God wants us on his path. And sometimes that's a fun and victorious path. Sometimes that's a difficult path. But if it's with God, isn't that the path we want to be on? Hallelujah. Very good. John 14:15. I think I got this one correct. John 14:15. Let's go to that one, please. John 14:15. I'll start turning there as we make our way there. Do you have that one, Joan? John 14:15. Okay. Well, we'll read it. John 14:15. Yeshua is saying here, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There it is. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is Yeshua now reiterating the same message that Moses shared with the people of Israel. Follow and obey. Yeshua said, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm glad you love me. Keep my instructions, keep my commandments. Like I said earlier, what happens when we obey, 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 we don't follow God where he's leading? We never get to the place that he's leading us to. We never get to the place of promise that he's called us to. What if we try to follow God, but we don't obey? Bad things. Because he's a holy God, and he wants his people to walk a godly and righteous way as his ambassadors, as his ministers of his truth. He doesn't throw away his righteousness as some like to teach. He's called us to be a holy people and to follow him all the way to the end. All the way. Be a holy people before me. So because he's building us up, Peter talks about as a spiritual temple, as a spiritual kingdom. You got to get rid of the malice. You got to get rid of the greed. Get rid of the theft. Get rid of all the junk. It's like when Yeshua was talking about the camel going through the eye of the needle. Many people think the needle's eye was one of the gates in Jerusalem that a camel could not get through until it shielded its load, shed its load. That was the imagery Yeshua was trying to portray. Unload and go through the gate. And whatever God wants you to bring along, he'll allow you to bring it along, but unload and go through the gate and let God tell you what he wants you to bring along with you. All of us. I'm not saying you, I'm saying you, everybody, okay? It's not a you or me thing, this is a us thing. John 14:23. Yeshua said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We talk about loving God. Loving God is keeping his word and keeping his truth. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Hallelujah. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Each and every day, he made sure he was on the path that the Father had showed him to be on. And he knew at the end of it that the path was going to end very badly, very difficultly, but then there was going to be a glory after that. He still, remember, he prayed, God, take this cup away from me. Take this part of the path away. Is there some other way? Is there some other way we can do this? Take this path away. Take this cup away. However, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. We talked about Moses in the wilderness. We talked about Israel in the wilderness, following and obeying. If we sat at the foot of the mountain and obeyed, we would never get to where God wanted us to go. And we would never give God the opportunity to teach us and test us and mold us into the way he wanted us to be without allowing that path and that journey to take place. And if we try to attempt the journey but ignore the things that God wants us to do and the people he wants us to be, that's just not a good place to be because he's a holy God. Follow and obey. Follow and obey. King David, before he was a king, he was a shepherd. He worshipped. Then he became king. Was the king of Israel supposed to be above God's instructions or laws or not? In Deuteronomy chapter 17, do we have that one? Yes. When you come to the land that Adonai your God is giving you, possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations around me. Now remember, God wasn't real thrilled with this idea. God would have rather we simply maintained him as king and lived out the kingdom and community and nation life that he had called for Israel. But he knew we were going to want a king. So he said, when you come out and say, I want a king like all the nations around me, next verse, you will indeed set yourselves a king whom Adonai your God chooses. So it's going to be God's choice. One from among your brothers will be appointed as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Next, jumping down to the next portion of the scripture. Now, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself a copy of this Torah on a scroll from what is before the Levitical Kohanim. There's something about writing something for yourself that it sticks in your mind a little bit better than just when it's given to you and you're reading it. Try reading a chapter in the Bible and then try writing that chapter in the Bible and see which way you remember better. Because God's point is, even if you set a king over you, I don't care what all the kings of the world do. Nobody is above my instructions, my law. I'm not afraid. I don't mind the word. It's God's instructions, God's commands, God's instructions. Even your king is not above God's instructions. All right, go ahead. Next verse. It will remain with him, and he will read it all the days of his life in order to learn to fear Adonai his God and keep all the words of this Torah and the statutes. Why? Remember, king, the idea of a king is to have ultimate authority over a kingdom or people. Because God's king does not have ultimate authority, God does. And to learn to be a righteous and good and loving king, you gotta study the way God wants it done. So he said, my king will write this down and we'll keep it by him and we'll read it every day. Every day. Every day. So we know that king knows what path he should be on and how to rule his kingdom wisely and in righteousness. It's similar in our lives, isn't it? God wants us to manage ourselves in righteousness and in truth and in our congregation. Amen. All right. I said all that to say, let's get into the Torah portion. I spent half the time to get to back to Genesis chapter 6. Bereshit is the Hebrew name of this book. It is the beginning. It's the foundation of just about everything. Genesis 1:1 is practically the most important scripture in the Bible, because if you don't believe that, you don't bother with anything else. In the beginning, God created everything. So in Genesis chapter 6, that's our Torah portion this week. Mitch was touching on it this morning. I'm going to read it here again, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then Adonai saw the wickedness of humankind was great on earth. Great. This is Ben Adam. This is one of those places in the Hebrew where God says Ben Adam. That means humankind. Now remember, Yeshua referred to himself as Ben Adam because he was the restorer of mankind. This is the corruption of mankind. Yeshua is the restorer of mankind. He says, since they are all flesh, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. In Hebrew, it's ra'ah, evil all the time. So Adonai regretted that he made humankind on the earth. And look at this next statement. His heart was deeply pained. Like Mitch said earlier, when God sees people doing to one another what he sees, his heart is deeply pained. So Adonai said, I will wipe out humankind whom I have created from the face of the ground, from humankind to livestock, crawling creatures, and the flying creatures of the sky, because I regret I made them. That's how badly it pained God. As much as he loves us and loves his creation, it pained God that much, he just could not believe what we had concocted as humanity on this earth that he had created. But, there's a but. In the Bible, there's always a but. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in not so good way. And those are the principles that this word teaches us. Thank God there's always a but. That conjunction is always there. But, verse 7, there was one guy. Oh, that's not verse 7. Verse 8. But, verse 8, there was one guy on the entire planet at the time that found favor in God's eyes. Why do I communicate with you in these messages not just as a community, which we are, which he calls us to as one community, but one-on-one as an individual. Because all it takes is one. And God calls us to a community. If I could just share with you sometime in the Hebrew how God switches from plural to singular when he's talking about you, you would have to have an English Bible that says plural or singular so you could see what he's talking to you. Plurally as a group and individually. And so many times when he's talking to the entire community, he's talking to the community made up of individuals. Because it's how we behave and how we act to one another and how we walk out this kingdom as a community, but what we're doing in our families individually that makes that up. One guy saved humanity. One guy's choice to follow and obey turned it around for God. Said, you know what? I could salvage this. He found favor in Adonai's eyes. Favor. It's a funny word because it gets translated in different ways. It gets translated as favor and oftentimes grace. Favor and grace. In Hebrew, it's the word chen. Chen. Oftentimes when God, you'll see Torah in the Torah of Moses referring to God, he's talking about rachem, which is merciful, and full of chen, grace. It was a very funny message. My family went to the Southeast Regional Conference, and it was interesting, but the one highlight I enjoyed, there's a rabbi north of us, Messianic Rabbi Michael Stepikoff, and he did a really funny message of like, when you're walking around in that favor, that grace, like Joseph in his coat, it's like, you got the hen. Hen, I got the hen. I thought that was funny. You had to be there. It's like, but you know, when God puts that favor and that grace on you, it's like, I got the hen. I got the hen. You know, I'm walking in that favor. I'm walking in that grace. But there was a reason Noah was walking in that favor and that grace because he chose not to be conformed to the world as what it had become, which is what Paul talks about in Romans. Do not be conformed to the world around you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind daily. Daily, just like the king. Write it down and read it. Get God into your head and your mind and your heart daily. Yeshua met with God, would go out at night to pray. Father, what do you have for me? What's the next part of the path? What's the next step? Oh, time to go to Jerusalem? Let's go to Jerusalem. Okay, back to the Galilee? Let's go back to the Galilee. Okay, time to walk into this synagogue? Okay, let's walk into this one. Time to go over here? Let's go over here. It's not always that easy for all of us. I don't want to say it was easy for him. But the point is to start to listen to that still small voice, or that voice that God places in you, or how he speaks to you even through his word or in your prayers. And then follow and obey. So Noah found the chen in Adonai's eyes. He's got the chen, the grace, the favor. Next verse, chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among his generations. So Noah had committed to do the God things. Noah had committed his life to not to be conformed to what was going on around him, not to fall into the idolatry, not to engage in the Hamas, but to be a man of God. And very important is the very next thing that the scripture says here. Noah can back up, not the next verse, but the next part of that sentence. Go back one, Joan. Noah continually walked with God. And what I wanted to get across today, and I hope it's something that you receive this morning, as well as me, it's about the walk that God has called us to. It's about a walk. It's about a life. It's about a daily living. It's not a one-off. It's not, well, I did this, so I'm good today. It is a walk with God. Being a disciple of the Messiah and a follower of God is about a walk. It's about a path that happens daily in our lives. It's about a God who we cling to in the most desperate of times, and it's about a God who we serve at any time. It's about a God who we follow even to the end of our lives, though sometimes lives can be cut short, sometimes tragically, and sometimes lives run long. Praise God. And in the end, God is the God of all of it. God is still God, is what I mean by that. God is still God. Praise God, he is the God of everlasting. Yeshua said, don't fear what man could do to you on earth. Yes, that could be ugly and nasty, but honor the one who has your life here and in heaven. So if you do go to meet him and face him one day, you got the hen. That's Rabbi Stepikoff. That's not mine. That's Rabbi Stepikoff's. You got the favor because you got the Messiah, Yeshua, and you got God. Noah continually walked with God, and through that man and his family, earth was saved and repopulated and reformed and restored. And then God made a promise. He said, look, no matter how ugly or bad it gets, I'm not going to do that again. Because even that pained him. But Noah found favor in his eyes, and Noah continually walked with God. I didn't say it's an easy thing to do, but it's a God thing to do. It's a God thing to do. So we have a path that God leads us on. You know, sometimes our decisions can mess the path up. Okay, sometimes there's a path and God says, I got this path, I got this great plan for you. And then we make we fall over. Make a bad decision, And God's like, Yeshua's, got to get you back on the path. But now the 2-year path is now a 40-year path. That's just unpleasant. That's just unpleasant. And when it's really bad, that entire generation, see, a lot of what God gives us is an example, is a principle to live by and to look at. To see our people Israel, God had tested them 10 times, and each time he was trying to build our faith. He'd say, look, I'm going to feed you. Just relax. Look, we're going to come upon some water. Just take it easy. Build it, build it. So when we get to the edge of the land, he says, okay, now go in, charge, and win the victory. We don't go, no, they're too big. We don't want any part of that. It's like God was saying, everything that I promised, everything that I did to bring you out of this, everything that you saw, you've rejected because you didn't think I'm strong enough, big enough, or good enough to bring you in and make you victorious in this. So you don't get to go in. I'm still going to be with you. I'm still going to take care of you as a mother eagle takes care of her chicks, but this generation will not enter. Your kids that you said were going to perish in the wilderness, they're going to enter. And sometimes, and that's the most extreme example, I would say. Sometimes we mess the path up, but God be the glory, and God in his forgiveness, Lord God, get us back on the path. And sometimes, Lord, maybe that path's going to take a little longer now, but all for you. Follow and obey. Remember, God was still leading on the 40-year path. You got to love Moses sometimes. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim is Moses' last words. He knew God said, okay, time to go up on the mountain. The people are going to go in, and it's time. Moses said, okay, this is a new generation. I need to reiterate the entirety of everything you've shown us and taught us. I need to share with them so they don't forget you when they get into land and get all fat and happy, that they don't forget who was the one, the source of all this. I need to repeat and share everything that you've given us to this generation as they prepare to enter the land. It was like David when he was preparing to build a temple and God said, no, you're not the guy. You had to win all these victories, but there was a lot of bloodshed in that. Your son's going to do it, and I have a prophetic ministry in that. Your son will do it. So what did David do? Did he say, okay, I'll just sit on my hands? No, he prepared everything. He prepared the way. He got all the materials. He prepared the priesthood. He prepared the singers. He prepared the musical instruments. He prepared everything he could do. Say, okay, because my son is going to deliver on God's promise. So I'm not just going to sit down or weep or be a pity party. I am going to do everything I can to prepare the way for Shlomo, for my son, to build God a house in Jerusalem. And so, good grief, I don't know where I was going with that. You got to love that. Moses is hilarious. So he's speaking to the second generation. And he's telling them of all the wondrous things that God did. You got to love Moses. All the wondrous things God did to bring the people out of Egypt. He said, remember, they were young. That generation was young back then. And some were brand new. They weren't there at the time. It'd been 40 years. Here's all the wonderful stuff God did. And he led us on this path. And from Edom to Kadesh Barnea is 11 days. And then right after he says, it took us 40 years. Don't ever forget that. It was an 11-day journey. Because that generation failed, took us 40 years. Don't be the generation that fails. And that's what he said. He said, it's staring right at him. He says, that's an 11-day trip. Took us 40 years, and we followed God all the way. There was a couple of rebellions that popped up. We're sick of this journey. We're sick of the manna. We're sick of not having water when we want it. Let's just get rid of Moses. It's Moses' fault. Let's just stone Moses, and we'll get a new leader, and we'll do whatever. That ended badly as well. So those things don't work in God's kingdom. Those things don't work in God's economy. And sometimes it's just the path that we're on. And you know what? Let's cling to God and serve him regardless of the path, and let's walk with God. That's what he's called us to. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and God was so, God took him. Like, woohoo! A third of the way into his life at the time. God just took him. What Yeshua wants of us is a walk, which is a path that's following and obeying and walking and serving in the path that he's called us to do. Does that make sense? Noah walked with God. He was one guy and saved humanity, essentially, or was a restoration of humanity, and was a prophet to humanity. He built that ark for what was like 100, 120 years, and nobody turned back to God. Nobody believed him. Nobody. God gives people years, in this case, 100, 120 years. Hey, why don't you ask Noah what's going on? He'll tell you, hey, maybe you need to turn back to God because there's a big flood coming. Noah, you don't know what you're talking about. God gives people time. The land of Canaan, he said when he was bringing the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, he told Abraham, I want you to walk in the land, I want you to sojourner, but you're going to be a foreigner because the iniquity of Canaan has not been complete. And he gave them another 400 years. 400 years is how long Israel was in Egypt. 400 years to see if Canaan would change their ways. They didn't, but he knew, he already had made the promise. He said, their iniquity is not complete. Let's see what happens. They have 400 years. 400 years to get it right. Didn't happen. God gives us choices, and in Yeshua, he gives us a path. Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4. Really, I just wanted the second half of this. The righteous will live by his trust, by his faith. Part of the walk that we have is it's the faith that we have in God. It's the trust that we have in him. And as we follow him out, it's the faith and the trust. All right, let's move quickly now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, how many of you agree that trying to live a life trusting God is sometimes a walk of faith? You sometimes can't even see the next step in front of you. Okay, it's just me. So, does anybody agree with that? You know, oftentimes, like Moses and that generation of Israel, want to go from point A to point B very quickly, and then God takes this long, windy path. And then sometimes we have issues on the way, and the path gets longer and windier. So, okay, we got to learn this a little more. You got to train your kids up, get them ready. We walk by faith, not by sight, because it's not always what's right in front of us. It's not always visible how that path meanders. We can maybe see, maybe God's given us a little bit of an impression of what that endpoint is, and we think the straight line is the best shot, and God says, no, it's a little bit of a windy path. I'm not a sailor, but it's like when you're tacking to catch the wind. You can't get there straight because you can't catch the wind if it's blowing in another direction. You have to go back and forth, back and forth until you get to your destination. And it's simply one of the many mysteries of God. It's how he trains us. It's how he tests us. It's how he refines us. It's how he builds us up as individuals and then together as a community. Community. Amen? Okay. Yaakov, which is James in English Bible, Jacob in a TLV or a complete Jewish Bible, chapter 1, verses starting verse 12. Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. And then we get to put the crown at his feet, which is a cool thing. All right, next verse. Let no one say we is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. We're the ones who get tempted. Next verse. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Keep going, keep rolling along. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Do not be deceived. Next verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We just had Genesis 1 last week. God said, let there be light. By his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Isn't that exciting? Next verse, 22. But here's the thing. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. It's just like when the king was to write this down and meditate on it and follow God, because even the king was not above God's ways and instructions. All right, let's go to Jacob, verse chapter 2, verse 18. Now, if someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This, to me, is like capturing it all. It's the walk. It's the walk. It's walking out the life that God has called us to in every regardless of the situation. And that's not easy to do. To find your place in that place, whether it's fearing God, honoring God, following his commandments, clinging to him. And there's moments when we have to cling to him. When Jacob was wrestling the angel, who I believe was actually the Messiah because he called him God later, when the angel dislocated, kind of, I don't want to say he cheated, but he dislocated, they were wrestling around, and then dislocated his hip there, Jacob's. What did Jacob do? Because now his legs, he couldn't function, he couldn't do this wrestling, this fight with his legs. What was the only thing left he could do? He just hung on. He just clung to him. And the angel, the Messiah, but the angel said, let go of me. It's time to go. We're done here. He said, not till you bless me. I need you. I need something right now. I need you. My brother's coming. I think he's going to kill me. I need you. I need you. And so he changed his name to be Prince of God. And what it taught Jacob, this isn't the end for you. This is just the beginning. So don't be afraid of your brother. You just wrestled God. What do you have to be afraid of him for? And so that's what allowed Jacob to go in front of his family rather than behind. And then Jacob sometimes would run, sometimes. But then he learned not to run anymore. He learned to face his fears, which in this case was his brother and 400 men with swords. Face it because God had given him the confidence to face it. He had just wrestled with God, succeeded, and got for himself a new name, which was just the beginning. It wasn't the end. So I want to encourage everybody today to simply continue to walk the walk. Walk the walk of faith, but walk it out with the works that God has called us to do so God may be glorified. To walk out the kingdom walk and the kingdom path he's called us to. Because like I said, even one man's walking with God continually and the favor that God placed upon him was able to restore this earth one more time. So let's be those people. Amen. All right, well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Thank you for coming, and be blessed, and we will see Rabbi Judah and Reverend Kathy next week.